Hey guys, this is Alex.
And this is Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Devil's Reign by Chip Starsky, Marco Cicchetto, Marcio Nunez, and Clayton Cowles. Let's go. We are done with that killer intro. we're still dusting off the recording chops after our brief hiatus, and we're doing this one remote. Little peek behind the curtains, and according to Drew, we nailed that one. So
I can hear the music sort of. Alex can't, but man, your timing, it was picture perfect.
Yeah, a little bit of a chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're super excited to come back today. As we said in the intro, we're looking at Daredevil series Devil's Reign, which is kind of a big Marvel event that happened recently-ish in the Marvel continuity. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not like the most recent thing that's happened. But lots of cool stuff to discuss today. We're going to see how many we can get through. This might actually get into several other episodes. But we're just going to kind of, without robbing the integrity of the earlier issues, make sure that we get everything and then see how far we get.
And just for the record, like Alex mentioned, we are recording remotely. I think you mentioned that. Yep. So normally we're able to control the environments, but now we have two environments. And everybody in my neighborhood seems to be mowing this afternoon. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry about that. And my air conditioning sounds like a jet engine. So just consider, like, it's like you're in the studio with us this week.
Yeah, if it's anything like what I'm hearing, which I know it'll be a little hotter once we're done recording, but from my end, you sound great. I'm not hearing a lot of ambiance.
You sound great, too. Yeah, a little how the sausage is made. For some strange reason, whenever we're, I can hear how Alex sounds on his microphone, and he can hear how I sound on my microphone, but we can't hear ourselves.
Yeah, there's no self-monitoring.
Some sort of FaceTime and logic not syncing together very well. Who knows? Oh, well.
Yeah. Anyway, what have you been up to, Drew? How goes it?
Not bad. Just finishing up the last of the summer with my wife home all the time. She's about to go back to school. And I'm about to go back to school. I think I mentioned teaching a composition class.
Professor X.
I report tomorrow for my new hire orientation.
Oh.
But yeah.
That's exciting. You will bring comic books and hand them out and plug our podcast.
I will probably forget. How about you? How things have been?
It's good. I just got back from Park City, Utah for work, where I was there for about 5 days. It's beautiful. I'd never been. Worked really hard, though. I'm exhausted still, and I've been back since Friday. It's Sunday now. But happy that I got to go and check it out. It was a good time. And also, found out when I got to the airport, as soon as I got through the TSA security check, that our offer was accepted on a home. So super hyped to get a new home. I'm actually moving quite a bit closer to Drew. So there will be less excuses for us to not meet up and actually record the podcast.
Cut the travel time in half at least, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think I mapped it. You're like 18 minutes from my house, which normally you're like 35, 40 plus easy.
Nice.
So super excited about that. It's going to be more often higher quality content, I think.
Sweet.
More motivation to not have to trek across the county to get to each other.
Indeed.
Another question. What you been reading, yo?
Well, I'm continuing to read The Dark Tower. Not a comic book, though there are comic book adaptations. But I just watched the Amazon Prime series Paper Girls, which is a comic series.
Yes.
Okay. Did you hear my neighbor's Camaro start up?
I think maybe I did. Yeah.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Super subtle.
Actually, it's his motorcycle. I dug it. I haven't read the books. I know Alex is a big fan. I need to read the books now because I want to know how different it is. But that was a solid series. Just 8 episodes, maybe 10. I feel like Alex tried to explain what that show was about to me a long time ago, and I'd managed to completely forget. So It was a lot of good. Have you managed to finish watching that series yet?
I have not. You said you watched one. I've only watched one at this point because I watched it, and again the very next day I got to Utah, and then I've been doing home closing stuff ever since then. So haven't got to finish it, but basing the first episode that I did see off of how the compares to the comics, there's a lot of similarities. It's not like they are, at least in one episode, they're not really deviating from that story. So that's a good thing because the comics are killer.
Yeah, I dig
it. It's pretty awesome. So yes, you definitely need to read it. I think there's like 10 volumes or something like that. I have two of the like deluxe collections that I think contain like, I don't know, like 3 volumes each. Hold on. I'm getting, my phone is blowing up from, how do I mute this? Mute it. Hide alerts. There we go. Okay. Anyway, it's a great series. The art is incredible. And it's also, I saw that Christopher Cantwell, who is writing the Iron Man series, I think most people will know him for that. There's like the recent stuff, is like helping produce the show.
Yeah, I noticed his name comic at the end of every Blood. Episode. It was pretty cool.
Which and is interesting because I don't think he did anything with the comic.
That's Brian K. Vaughan, right?
Right.
Was he Saga?
Yes.
Okay. I kept thinking that, and I've got Saga right here behind it, but I don't want to make a bunch of noise digging through my floppies. So yeah, solid series.
Yeah, super excited about that. I'm still catching up on Stranger Things myself. I'm like halfway through it all. Yeah. And
dude, I finished that. Katie, like, in days.
I know Katie just like couldn't handle all the gnarliness that they kind of cranked up to 11.
Every season of Stranger Things has gotten more and more like in the horror vein. Like the first one felt sci-fi to me. First season was just fun sci-fi. But every season's gotten a little bit more and more sinister. And I was just like, wow, it's growing up.
Yeah, it's doing that thing where it's growing up with its actors and its characters, for better or for worse. I think it's cool, but Katie can watch a lot of stuff, but she can't handle the gore, the bone snapping or anything like that. And it gets pretty intense in several moments, but I'm liking it a lot.
Well, Alex, what you been reading, yo?
I have been reading a little bit, aside from reading. So today we're covering the core. Well, we're going to take a swing at covering the core 6 issues of the Devil's Reign event in Marvel Comics. But I've been also reading on all the tie-ins that go in with that. So I would say there's like, I don't know, 20 tie-ins or so that kind of go in and out and kind of just set the scene for the fallout of what's going on. And I've read almost all of them for the sake of us making sure that we had the content to record this podcast. I skipped a few, but I'm going to go back and kind of see how they tied in. Really good. I'm also, speaking of Christopher Cantwell, been catching up on the Iron Man run. I've been buying all the floppies for that run, but I haven't read all of them yet. So just getting caught up on that, but that's really it. I've been super busy with work, and I have a feeling that buying a house is not going to be just some sit back and read comic move. So I'll be catching up and reading as much as I can within reason.
Nice.
And also, like I said, finishing Stranger Things. I've also really want to go and finish the most recent season of The Boys. I've heard it's pretty wild.
See, I haven't clicked over to that one yet.
That's an understatement. I've heard it's pure insanity and maybe the most spicy thing that we could possibly watch. So we'll see.
I did forget how that goes. The other day, I dipped my toe back into the Arrowverse. Whenever I like caught up with all that, like spending so much time, and then I didn't watch a single episode for, it might have been a year by now. I can't remember when I caught up, but I just know that there are currently 2 seasons at least out. So I'm like, okay, let's get caught up, because I've heard that a whole lot of that is coming to a close soon.
So
I'm like, you know, I should finish this so that I can have it off
Isn't
my plate.
The Flash, like the next season of The Flash, going to be the last one?
The last one, yeah. And I think like HBO, which Warner Brothers owns, or vice versa, I can't remember which way it goes.
Warner Brothers owns HBO.
Okay. I feel like they're going to start retracting their stuff from the CW, because I heard the CW is about to be sold or like just shut down. So
weird.
I heard that from one random YouTube video. It could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But it sounds like they're just trying to pull their property from CW and just put it all onto HBO Max, which might mean, you know, shorter seasons, higher quality content of Arrowverse type shows, or maybe they're just like, nope, we're going to get rid of this so that we can have Flash in the HBO Max verse. Who knows? I don't know. We'll see. Right.
And then also, like, the I'm curious to see, like, there have been, like, fan castings or once, you know, solutions to problems. Obviously, Ezra Miller, they've had a lot of personal issues in a variety of capacities over the last couple of years. And I think they're maybe trying to figure out how to go forward with the Flash and the DCEU. And there's a lot of people that are like, just Grant get Gustin. The dude that's get Grant Gustin from the CW and
Grant Gustin's recast great.
Him. Yeah. So I don't know what the answer is, but sounds like Ezra Miller has some things to work out personally, and maybe this will be a better step for everybody moving forward. So who knows if that's why they're ending The Flash next season, so they can pull him into the DCEU proper. There's already been a big enough crossover to where that could work anyway.
Yeah, right? I mean, we've seen Grant and Ezra on the same screen before.
Right.
During Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, so there's already some sauce that's been simmering that they could do something with that for sure.
Yeah.
Anything else before we jump into these sweet, sweet comics?
Nope.
Sweet. Well, let me see. I'm operating my iPad. Can I? What is happening? Nope. Stop it.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'll read off the credits again, if you don't mind.
Please do. Yes.
This is for part one. I don't know if we're gonna. I'm sure it stayed pretty similar, but writer Chip Zdarsky, artist Marco Cicchetto, color artist Marcio Meniz. Good Lord, I should have thought about that before I started. I'm sorry.
I think you're right.
Marcio Meniz.
I think so.
Letterer Clayton Cowles, various cover artists, stuff like that. Anyway, but yeah, those are at least who start us. I'll do my best to catch it as we go, but I may miss it.
Yeah, another thing to consider is that Mark Cicchetto and Chip Zdarsky, so Mark being the artist Marco Cicchetto, not Mark, being the artist and Chip being the writer, were the same creative team. And it might also be Marcio Menez and Clayton Cowles that did like the bulk of the Daredevil run that runs up to this, which I believe over 2021 was like one of the most popular things Marvel was putting out. I read almost all of it, if not all of it. Super solid, lots of rich storytelling, great art, great lettering, great coloring. I mean, it was just super rich comic book. So this is kind of the big event culminating out of that Daredevil series. So if you're super curious about getting like a dense background story about how did we get here, you should go read that Daredevil run for sure. It's all on Marvel Unlimited at this point.
So I'm wondering, maybe it would be good to take a quick break, catch our breaths before we get started on this, and then we can come back and let you know all about this.
Cool. We'll be right back. And we're back. And before we jump into the story, I'm going to give you a quick 60-second catch-up on the Daredevil and how he got his powers and kind of where we're at and just set the screen. So a young Matt Murdock, was just a young child who had a father who was a boxer, like a kind of pro-am boxer that kind of did some stuff on the side in New York, specifically in Hell's Kitchen. And at one point he is going as a little kid and he's kind of running out in the city and he sees somebody about to get hit and he goes to save them. And then this truck kind of swerves and wrecks and crashes and this chemical gets in his eyes, which blinds him permanently. But it also awakens a superpower in him that kind of gives him like an echolocation sort of thing. So he's basically turned all his other senses up to 11. And it basically gave him superpowers and he kind of take those and eventually going on is trained by this older blind gentleman in martial arts named Stick and then by the Hand. And he also becomes an attorney. So by day he's fighting law and bringing justice in the courtroom. But by night he tries to do the things, you know, that Daredevil would do and save people. And there's a lot of interesting back and forth between his faith and his religion and the things that he does to people and kind of where that moral line is for him and how can he let people go in the middle of the day and then like put his hands on them at, you know, at night when he's got the mask on. So lots of super interesting stuff. One of the most iconic Marvel bad guys is one of his bad guys, Kingpin, who's kind of, you know, I think people would argue between Daredevil and Spider-Man being his his villain.
I don't remember if me and you had this conversation, and I can't remember if it was from Daredevil or from
Hawkeye
Spider-Verse.
Oh, okay.
Where we were, something was happening. I was like, dude, that guy looks just like Kingpin. And you're like, that's because that was Kingpin. I'm thinking it may have been Daredevil because they never used the name Kingpin. And I'd never read anything to know Wilson Fisk was Kingpin. And you're like, you dope. That's exactly who it is.
So they famously have portrayed Kingpin, Wilson Fisk, by Vincent D'Onofrio, who has, as of the latter episodes of Hawkeye, become a staple villain in the MCU. And I think we're going to see him more in the Echo series and probably the Daredevil series and maybe even the She-Hulk series because we've already confirmed that Charlie Cox will be in that for playing Daredevil. So anyway, as of this current iteration of Daredevil, he has kind of, as Daredevil does in several of his runs, kind of been deconstructed a little bit and, you know, been broken down and beaten. And at this current status, there are currently two Daredevils. So Matt Murdock is Daredevil, and so is Elektra Nachios, or just Elektra, as a lot of people would know her. So a long-standing love interest for Matt Murdock, who is similar in some ways, but also takes a different moral path than Matthew does, and also creates a lot of interest that the person he loves is willing to do more for what she feels is just than Matt might be at any given time. So as it stands, there are two Daredevils, kind of like when there's two Captain Americas at any given point with Sam and Bucky, or I almost said Chris Hemsworth. Steve Rogers. Anyway, I think that's everything. Drew, do you want to take us in the very beginning? Well, I think I just want to say high points. Yeah.
There's, after I read this, I had to call or text Alex and be like, so what's happening in the world? So like right before this, what was the deal with Daredevil's secret identity?
Ah, yes. So to back this up a little bit, Wilson Fisk has been duly elected mayor of New York, which is kind of a big shock. He's usually this underground kingpin and off the grid and, you know, controlling all the gangs and the mobs from behind the scenes, a little bit of a man behind the curtain thing. But he is actually elected mayor of New York. And while he's doing things for New York, he's also kind of, you know, still operating in the gray area morally. And he finds out Daredevil's identity. He finds out that it's Matt Murdock. But then something happens to where he forgets who Matt who Daredevil is, but he's aware that he used to have that information, and he knows that somebody has tampered with his memories, and he's kind of on this blood quest to figure out who did it, and it kind of spurs in this Devil's Reign event of what happens.
Yeah, so like we learn that very early in the book, but I had to be like, so is this something I should know? Okay.
Right.
So to start the thing, there's these two people. I don't know if we should know who they are. I didn't know who they were, and it still had a pretty good impact. These two people on this super yacht talking about, well, so we put Kingpin into the seat of mayor in New York. What next? Basically, you're just like, there's people pulling strings behind the thing.
Yes.
And then we check back in with them occasionally throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the next thing, that was like the cold open. The actual, like, credits have rolled, whatever, it's time to get with the show. There's a meetup between Daredevil and Fisk, and Fisk confronts him saying, who are you? I've got this file where I supposedly knew who you were, and now it's empty. What have you done? And it's just like, he's just like freaking out, flipping out in front of him, just like...
Yeah, it's some pretty powerful art as well. Like, you just see like the stature and how imposing Kingpin is over Daredevil. Like, he's staring him down, and it also kind of speaks to like the bravery or the seriousness of Daredevil. He's just staring up at him cold, and he's just like, sorry, Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not letting you know who that is.
Is that where he makes a comment like only like Wilson Fisk makes a point at some point to say nobody, people call me Mr. Fisk. Nobody calls me Wilson. And it was either him or somebody in later in the book just makes a point of calling him Wilson to his face. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
It might have been Spider-Man actually.
Yeah.
But okay. So then we jump forward and this is kind of like the big, oh, so this is where we're going with this. Wilson mm-hmm. Fisk, enraged by this anger he's feeling at losing this information, he calls a press conference to basically outlaw superheroism, at least in New York City. So it's mm-hmm. just like, it's not just like you got to register or whatever. It's just like, nope, superheroes are the reason we have all this destruction. So it's, unless you're working on my behalf as a Thunderbolt, which comes out a little bit later.
Yep.
Which I was, as soon as I got to that, I was like, oh, I bet this is one of the reasons Alex wants to cover this. There's so much right here that could be pulled from for
absolutely
the various phases. But anyway, so he's just like, nope, if you're a superhero, you're the enemy now, and we're going to take you out.
Yeah, so this is not to be confused, even though it kind of parallels the Superhuman Registration Act that kind of kicked off Civil War. It's straight up, like as Drew mentioned, like Wilson Fisk is taking the branding of the Thunderbolts and supervillains that he might have been in bed with, and they are policing, kind of creating this police state and taking out superheroes. There's no like chance to redeem yourself or sign up and join the team. It is just take them out. And he's kind of painting this picture of they're a threat. They're causing all this damage and destruction, and we can't do this anymore.
Yeah. There's just one splash, not a splash. It's just a page. They're called the Powers Act, I guess.
Yes.
They talk to Tony Stark. They talk to a few people on the street. One thing I really like is they talk to Storm. And she's just like,
from Krakoa.
The people of Krakoa have diplomatic immunity. We don't mess with, we're not worried about your human things. And that's just like,
yes,
mic drop, you know?
There's a super cool scene like right after that, though. It's like showing the first arrest they're beginning mm-hmm. in. There's a bunch of Thunderbolts trying to take down the Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And despite like the power of, I think we have like Electro. What is so?
I don't know who that purple one is.
It's one of the symbiotes, right? Or one that has some of the power.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. I don't know them by name.
I can't remember. But also,
Rhino God, and U.S. Agent.
Yes, U.S. Agent and Rhino are there, and they're like obviously you know recognizable, and they all have this Thunderbolt logo on there, and they're trying mm-hmm. to take out Moon Knight. And despite like that kind of you know pretty formidable team of villains, like Moon Knight is just having his way for quite a while until it gets to a point where you know some of the other Avengers show up and start to assist him, and they all go underground.
And then I don't know if this is like a direct next like the scene or it's just a different place, but there's mm-hmm. a fire. And somebody, who is this? What's the deal with this Spider-Man or Spider-Person? I don't know if it's I couldn't tell.
Yeah, so this is, hold on, I always forget his name. This is from,
While you're looking it up, I'll
go ahead.
Give the lay of the land. It's a fire. A fire is going up this apartment building, and this Spider-Person comes through and saves somebody, and they're talking to the fire chief. And then these Thunderbolts come up and like try to arrest the Spider-Person after they saved a kid from a burning building. And then Captain America shows up and he's just like, look, we're trying to save people. And if you're going to make it illegal for me to save people, well, then you might as well just lock me up right now. And then while that's all happening.
That is the Scarlet Spider, which is Ben Reilly, which is like the from the Clone Saga.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I interpreted it as. If that is not who that is, then I don't know who that is.
This other Spider-Man rolls
right.
in. And at some point in the book, it sounds like he calls himself Ben.
Right.
So I don't know.
I thought that's who you were talking about.
I was talking about the one who's the very first one we see carrying that kid out of the burning building. Yeah.
See, I thought that was Ben Reilly.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I haven't been reading enough Spider stuff lately to know, like, if that's just
somebody wearing a
new and fresh outfit or what.
I'm pretty sure the Spider-Man that comes in shortly after Captain Hook, Captain America, and then the Daredevils come in. I don't even think that's Peter Parker. I think that's Ben Reilly.
Oh, okay.
So interesting. I don't know who this other one is. The design of the eyes made me think that the other person was a little more feminine, and I'm not sure.
I'm gonna see if I can find, while you're talking them through this, who that is.
So yeah, basically everybody is piling in, and whenever they realize the lay of the land, I can't remember if this is where Captain America said, no, he doesn't say Avengers Assemble. They basically just duck out, and they're like, we're going to go, there's a safe house we can go and hang out in the sewers and figure out what's going on. And then meanwhile, we move to the Baxter building, and before, like, Dr. Octopus comes in and slaps some restraining neck, I don't know what you would call it, devices on Sue and Richard, and they take him off in shackles, but they're able to like warn Ben and what's his face, Johnny, and they like zip out with the kids on the lam. So it's just like all the big ones are getting hit. We've got
They make like a super aggressive like first push to take out some of the biggest names, like the Avengers and stuff, that are in New York. And if you think back at all, like there are a lot of Marvel characters that come out of New York.
Yeah. And then they cut to Luke Cage and Jessica Jones trying to save some people in a bus that just got turned over. And the Thunderbolts come up to arrest them for saving people. And Luke Cage gives a little speech. And a bunch of people get it on their camera phones, and he's basically like, "Look, if you want to arrest me for doing this, you can come and get me." And then we have a little conversation with, I guess, Kingpin and his son.
Yes, this is Kingpin's son. Also, I guess it's important to note that Kingpin is married to Typhoid Mary at this point, which happens near the end of that Daredevil run.
Who is she? I don't know what that is.
She's a long-standing villain. Typhoid Mary. Typhoid fever came up. No, not the actual person. Marvel. Typhoid Mary Fisk. God, they updated her Wikipedia. She's like Mutant Zero. She's a supervillain. Initially depicted as an enemy of Daredevil. Suffering from DID. Comes into conflict with Spider-Man and Deadpool. I guess she was actually in the Elektra film whenever, who was that, Jennifer Garner?
I don't know if I ever actually saw that film.
I'm not sure I did either. She's had been in a relationship with Daredevil at one point. I think she has like some psionic powers, like some low-level telekinesis. Hmm. Anyway, it's kind of just important that she's a mutant. Okay. So. Anyway, carrying on.
Well,
yes, he has a kid.
Yeah. Apparently his son has taken over as the new Kingpin.
Yes.
And there's just a little struggle right there. And whenever Fisk leaves, we learn that his son is friends. This took me for a loop with Mike Murdock, who is currently impersonating Matt Murdock.
Right.
And I guess it's his brother or whatever. And... Mm-hmm. There's just a whole lot there. So there's wrinkles on these wrinkles.
Right.
And then I guess Tony Stark tracks down Luke and Jessica Jones, and they're like, hey, there's a place I can take you to lay low for a while. And that's just kind of like introducing them. Right. But then we see that, I guess, Doc Ock is the whole thing. He wanted to get to the Baxter building because there's some stuff. I don't know that they give it away, but it looks like a Stargate type of a thing.
Right.
And he's like, finally. And then we see that Fisk has apparently been getting all of this, like, I don't know if they had been using him yet, but he basically has the Purple Man under his control.
Right.
And is planning to use that to secure his spot.
You suddenly start to think, like, if you haven't before, like, okay, Purple Man, he can make people do things or even forget things.
Yeah.
So you're kind of wondering if Purple Man is one of the reasons that Wilson Fisk has forgotten the identity. Mm-hmm. Also, it's important to mention, like, when you first introduce Stark, he's kind of, like, quickly talking about how he's going to overthrow Kingpin, doing it the legal way, by running for mayor himself.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of like an interesting thing. Like, we're trying to fight this on the forefront, like in the news in front of the people, but also behind the scenes as well.
And apparently all of his suits have been, like, his centers went into lockdown whenever people started getting arrested. So he's just riding around in a really inconspicuous Lamborghini or something. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about how gnarly this last sequence with Purple Man and Kingpin is? Like,
yeah, he
it's pretty intense.
I guess it looks like he's coming in. I'm all zoomed out on my pages. I can't quite exactly see what they're talking about, but
you're fine.
Basically gets into it, and he's just got his big meaty paws around his neck, and it just cuts like. It looks like a Vulcan, or what were they, Klingons? There's a certain Star Trek people that had purple blood. I'm thinking it might have been Klingons.
Yeah.
In one of the later or one of the early movies, and it looks like a Klingon just exploded because he ripped. It looks like he just ripped his neck out or something. Just goo.
Well, he's holding a knife in his right hand, so I think it was both. But Purple Man told Kingpin, and you can always tell when he's trying to use his powers because it's in a purple text font. And he tells him to kill himself. And he's like, now, Zebediah, you know your mind control doesn't work on me. My will is too strong. Yeah. And there's kind of this superimposed, that scene is going over the top of the two people on the boat and the yacht in the beginning. And they're making this plan to not only keep Fisk in power in New York as the mayor, but also get him to run for president. And that is kind of juxtaposed over the top of Fisk just being covered in purple blood.
Yeah.
And then issue one ends. And definitely sets the stage for some true madness as it's going on.
Indeed.
I'm pulling up issue two.
Cool.
I'll start off with issue two. Just going to set this. Is like we start with, there's more just chaos ensuing as the Thunderbolts are trying to take out other Avengers that are in New York. And we start at the Rand Corporation. For those that don't know, Rand, Danny Rand, Iron Fist, he's kind of up there working. And then suddenly more Thunderbolts led by Crossbones enter in. And this pretty gnarly fight ensues. And like Danny Rand is for sure holding his own for a while because he's Iron Fist. He knows what he's doing. But it's kind of also juxtaposed over Stark, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage in Stark's vehicle talking about their game plan, how they're going to organize and get enough people to like overthrow Mayor Fisk because he somehow won the vote outright. Like it wasn't any trickery really going on. And then it cuts to this panel of Elektra, aka current Daredevil, sneaking into Kingpin's office while he's there. And they have this pretty intense conversation and it essentially ends in Wilson Fisk kind of like letting on basically that he knows the identity of Elektra Nachios as Daredevil right now and a lot more about her. And at the same time, he holds this staff that's got like this purple gem at the end of it. And it has one of Purple Man's thumbs inside the gem, which is a pretty gnarly flex, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But kind of implying that he has the ability to use some of Purple Man's powers now, which is a pretty frightening thought. Oh, sorry. I thought you were taking this next one.
Oh, no. You said what I was going to say. So.
Oh, okay. So Elektra escapes at some point, like kind of getting out of there before things get out of hand because a bunch of Thunderbolts break in on her and the mayor, Wilson Fisk, talking. And then we end up at this location where Tony Stark is trying to get everybody to a safe space and Steve Rogers is now there. And they kind of like pay off some kids to leave the location. But then they end up finding kind of what we've been alluding to before is that Purple Man's children are out and about in New York. And they're also kind of a candidate for somebody that has wiped Wilson Fisk's memory because they have the same powers that Purple Man does. Is this where we saw Ben Reilly for the first time in this next panel here?
I mean, we saw him in a fight earlier. But this is the first time we see him with the mask off and he's talking.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, so it kind of cuts over to Ben Reilly, Spider-Man, and he quickly gets attacked by Taskmaster leading a group of the Thunderbolts as well. And it gets out of hand really quick. And before we see the resolution of that, we cut to the Mimerdon, I think is how you say. It's like a prison for superpowered criminals. But Reed Richards and Sue Storm are in there.
Yep.
And they're just eating their meals. And somebody walks up to them with a prison shank. And then people still thinking that Sue and Reed are not as good as they are without their powers are, you know, quickly mistaken as Sue, like, breaks her lunch tray over some guy's head. And they get in this big fight. And then there's this cute moment of Reed and Sue getting their collars put back on and giving a kiss before they go on to the next thing. And then it cuts to the City Hall sub-basement. And they have Wilson Fisk and Doc Ock containing Purple Man again. You can see his hands all bandaged up. So kind of implied that, like,
they
didn't kill him. Yeah. They just cut his thumb off and put it in that thing. So basically, this is the first time we see Fisk like flex his powers. He uses the staff to tell Doc Ock to do something, but it doesn't quite work. Doc Ock's used like a neuroblocker thing. He sciences his way out of it. But there's lots of conversations about like what he's going to do aside from that. So there's this like side plot. It actually goes into another comic of Doc Ock and what he's doing in the Baxter Building with all the tech that Reed Richards has.
Yeah, it seems like there's a few things in here that they just give you enough hoping that you'll, like, the Kraven randomly shows up on the next page, and yes, he's never mentioned again, so that must be on the...
Yeah, I've read that Daredevil issue. She okay. runs into him at one point, and that's kind of one of the big cliffhangers at the end, is she runs into Kraven, who's working the Hunter as well. And then we go back to this hidden Avengers location that Tony got everybody in, and he's talking about the cleanest way to overthrow him, and long story short, Luke Cage, being like this person, this face of New York that everybody trusts, kind of says, I think I should run.
Yeah.
And everybody sort of agrees, but there's also a little bit of this kind of hesitation from Tony, which mm-hmm. they don't really touch upon for a while. If they do end up touching on it in one of the crossovers, I'm not sure that I've seen it. And then we go back to Ben Reilly being attacked by Taskmaster and those other subsets of the Thunderbolts. And he's like actually having trouble, like he's getting overwhelmed. And
because
like
at one point they take away his powers. And
yes,
he's just like, oh, the whole time they're inside, he's like, I need to get this. I can't beat Taskmaster hand to hand. I need to get him out in the open where I can swing.
And right.
Finally, he gets the chance. But I saw this whole thing happening. He was mm-hmm. like, oh, God, all I can do is use my web to catch something. But without my powers, this is going to, oh, and just like dislocates his arm as he's
yes.
just barely slows himself down enough before he crashes into a car.
Yeah, like, wild. So it's that classic scene of like, you know, falling into a vehicle mm-hmm. from down, like up above and like destroying the entire thing. Like it's for sure totaled. Yeah. And then it goes back to Doc Ock in the Baxter Building, like doing science stuff with all of Reed Richards' tech. And long story short, he pulls out, I think they're called the Superior Four is the run that they get,
okay.
which are variants of Doc Ock from other universes. And we have a Wolverine that has like Doc Ock metal. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Iron Spider mixed with Wolverine is kind of what it looks like. So every one of these characters has like a Doc Ock arm thing, like multiple arms. There's a Ghost Rider with like multiple chains coming out of his back. And then maybe the most terrifying is an Incredible Hulk with like 9 arms coming out of his back, all each arm stronger than the last.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like as a B plot from this whole thing, it's bad enough that Wilson Fisk is like making it hard for everybody, but Doc Ock, using tech that he normally didn't have access to, pulled super smart, super Doc Ocked out versions of other characters, all called Doc Ock, by the way, into this universe. And then issue 2 ends.
Yeah.
So after 2 issues, it's like, oh, there's pure madness going on right now. And the best they're trying to come up with is try to re-elect a new mayor when it's obviously going to take a lot more than that to happen. Do you want to take a quick break and then jump back to more of the series?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, we'll be right back. And we're back. And I think for time's sake, we're going to just cover one more issue and then get onto our trivia, because we don't want to shortchange any of these issues. Lots of cool stuff. So we'll hit through issue 3, and then next episode we'll cover 4, 5, and 6 of Devil's Reign and maybe a couple cool tie-ins. So we find ourselves in this interrogation room, and Ben Reilly, with that power restraint collar on his neck, is just absolutely wrecked. Like, it's not often we see Spider-Man just completely beat to heck. And there are people like interrogating him, and one of the guys does like slams his face into this desk. Like, they're adding insult to injury quite a bit. But then to the rescue comes Ben Grimm, the Thing, and the Human Torch into this place, and they break out Spider-Man and basically are like carrying him to safety, because they're like the few people left that haven't been wound up by the Thunderbolts. And then we switch over to Luke Cage giving like his first speech, like in a public place, as Cage for mayor. And it goes decently well. We get a cool little thing of Franklin Nelson, aka Foggy, representing Luke Cage, and you know, Jessica Jones just kind of telling him, like, as long as you're tough guy mayor image, we can handle this. And they fly off, and who is this representing Sue Storm in? There's an attorney she's talking to.
I don't know. I didn't recognize him.
I'm not sure who that is. I don't think it's Jennifer Walters. It could be. Do they say her name here?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not super important to the thing. But we get to this spot where, again, Kingpin is talking to Purple Man, and he's just talking about his kids and his power and, like, the power that his children have. And it kind of becomes clear that Kingpin is going after Zebediah Purple Man's children to bolster the power of being able to influence people so that he can win this election for sure over Luke Cage. And it also, there's a quick call between Doc Ock and Kingpin, and it's pretty clear that Doc Ock is already starting to like try to buck the waters a little bit and see if he can break free of Fisk's influence, because he feels that at this point, with all of the extra Doc Ock people that he has in his possession, that he can overpower Kingpin at this point, and maybe to good reason, because they look pretty formidable here. So they're still sciencing out, doing stuff. And what happens here? I can't remember. Sorry, when we read these comics, it's like if we don't take the most thorough notes, we can't remember everything. And then it's also like I don't want to be looking at a notepad the entire time.
I mean, it seems like just the underground Avengers are starting to get together, try to formulate a plan. I don't know if they've figured out what's going on with the kids yet or not. Sorry. There was a weird lag happening.
It's okay.
I'm hearing an echo of myself from Logic. This is going to be fun. It shouldn't affect you guys. It's just going to be tough on me the rest of this episode.
Huh?
But yeah, an interesting moment where we see the kids and they all look like feral, like evil, but maybe it's just because they've been used to just being able to tell people what they want and get their way all the time. But this woman's like, "Oh, you guys must be hurt from this Powers Act. Come to my place. I'll give you a place to stay, some food." And one of them's like, "Yeah, let's just take her up on her offer." But like, because she's offering it, nobody ever offers to help us. We always make them help us.
Yeah.
That was an interesting moment.
This, I forgot. This is how this ends. Okay. So we come back to the Avengers. They're kind of doing their thing. They're trying to figure out what the plan is going to be. And then suddenly they get attacked by the Sinister Four, I think is what they're calling themselves. And it's all these Doc Ocks, the Hulk ones. And honestly, they just can't handle it. Like, Cap's there, Iron Man's there, both the Daredevils, Luke Cage, and they're just getting beat up because these are like the maxed out best versions of these Doc Ock characters from these other multiverse. Mm-hmm. And it ends bad. Like, they're getting destroyed. She-Hulk's there. She's trying to take down the Doc Ock Hulk, and it's not working. And this menacing Doc Ock kind of like lowers himself on, you know, onto the thing and is like, I wasn't expecting company, but I'm sure at the very least we'll make something good out of this right here. So they're wrecking the Avengers right now, and they're completely overwhelming them. And the last things you see is like that other Spider-Man. Maybe it's the Scarlet Spider. That was Ben Reilly. I don't know who this new Scarlet Spider is, and it's bothering me. Anyway, whoever it is, they're holding on to Daredevil, who's screaming, "We can't let Fisk get away." And we pan over to Foggy Nelson walking into his office and somebody's in there and they basically say, Foggy says, I should have probably just gone home to sleep. And somebody in the dark corner says, honestly, that would have been a smart move. And these guys jump Foggy and beat the crap out of him. And basically they kind of imply like they're trying to make it to where he can never talk again and represent Luke Cage. So
there was one thing happened during the big fight. Iron Man gets taken down and Iron Man says, I did, like, trying to talk to Doc Ock. He's like, I did what you told me to. And you're like, what? And then it shows Iron Man's face, like part of his helmet's been cut away and he's actually somebody else. He's like a super villain.
Oh yeah. It's Chameleon.
Yeah. So this whole time, well, maybe not the whole time. I don't know if the one that drove up in the Lamborghini was him.
No, I don't think
But like at one point he tries to get below Avengers Mansion and they're talking about how I forgot my code. It's been so long. So he's at least been around. Like he gets down there, finds a random old set of armor. But yeah, it's been Chameleon. I don't know where Tony Stark is.
Yeah, I forgot about that completely. I'm glad you brought that up. And so that's where we end issue 3, essentially. So it's like 3 issues straight of things getting just progressively worse and worse for all these heroes in New York. And it ends with the who's who getting taken down completely by these multiversal Doc Ocks. And then Foggy Nelson, who has no powers to defend himself, just getting destroyed by these henchmen that Fisk sent out to send a pretty bold message. Thoughts after these first 3 issues?
Yeah, I don't know. I read all these 3 last night before I fell asleep, and I was just like, oh, things are getting intense. And I think I ended up having to read one more before I went to bed after reading that. It's a good story. My first reentry into Marvel Comics after a brief hiatus. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah. It's super cool. We didn't stop a lot to talk about like how good the art is, but Marco Cicchetto has like a very distinct style. Not like, it's not like an Alex Ross vibe, but it's just super rich. Like there's good line work and good shadow detail and the colors complement it very nicely. It's just super awesome to look at. I encourage you to check it out. But yeah, we'll have 3 more issues to cover moving forward. And I think you guys are going to like how the story wraps up.
Well, since we're going to do this in 2, we'll have an actual series of our lightning round trivia where the questions are faster than... I realized Tony Stark wasn't Tony Stark.
Yes.
That's all I got. It's Chameleon. The last thing we said. Yeah. I'm ready to go on if you are.
Yeah, you can go ahead. Go first.
Cool. So I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Which famous super team once fired Matt Murdock?
Fired him?
Yes.
Like you can't work for us anymore? Yes.
Well, that's all I want to tell you, because otherwise I'll give it away.
I have to guess that it was the Hand, but...
That is incorrect.
Okay.
Did I say super team? An actual
super team. Which I know the Hand isn't an actual super team. But
I'll give you another, because maybe I didn't actually specify.
Okay.
It is a superhero team.
Okay. Fired him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the West Coast Avengers.
False.
False. Who was it?
It was the Fantastic Defenders? Four.
Oh.
The Fantastic Four once hired Matt to go over some legal documents concerning a lease of the Baxter Building. But while he was there, Electro broke in. And Matt spent his whole time in the building trying to chase Electro down. And whenever the Fantastic Four got back, they were like, Matt Murdock didn't do anything. So they fired him and got a better lawyer. Because they didn't know that he was Daredevil at the time.
Right, right. That's funny. Okay, cool. So no points for me. I've got one for you about Kingpin. Okay. So there is a misconception or a misleading thing about Kingpin's body. Do you know what it is?
No.
If you want to take a swing in the dark.
What do you mean? There's a misleading thing, like something that people think it is, but it's not?
Correct. Like if you look at Kingpin, you think a certain thing about him, just about his appearance in general, but it is misleading to what it actually is.
You think he's fat, but it's actually all muscle?
That is actually correct. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the misconception is that it appears to be like a thick, blubbery layer of fat, but it is actually like all the way through him, dense layers of muscle. That's why he's so strong and like a formidable opponent. So
yeah. I wouldn't want to tangle with him.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't want any of that. He could probably hurt me quite a bit.
So for the first lightning round since February, and I'm in the lead.
Yes, I shall prevail. Any closing thoughts before we jump on out of here?
No, we'll hope to be back next Monday with this, so you have time to go get Devil's Reign. By the way, it's not R-A-I-N. It's
R-E-I-G-N.
Yeah, so make sure... go track it down. It's a 6-issue run. You can find it on Marvel Unlimited. So that
they have the whole reading order too. So if you want to read the tie-ins,
so that we won't surprise you next week.
Yes. Hope that you jump in and read the comics, Drew. Where can they find you on social media?
You can find various ways to check me out at drewmorrismusic.com. How about you?
You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. On all the social media platforms. And where about our socials for Two Man?
Find Two Man stuff, Two Man Comic Book on Twitter, Two Man Comic Book Club elsewhere. I haven't updated the blog in forever, so don't go looking for that. Shoot us an email, twomancomicbookclub@gmail.com, or join our Discord. Link will be down in the show notes.
Awesome. Until next time, we will see you later. Bye. Bye. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price. Our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
I'll just put it in post.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Cool. And I'm stuck.